Well, I just got a lot of questions in, so I'm happy to let other people get their questions in.
Appreciate that.
I know Lori just got her from 2 hours, so.
I'm rolling.
All right, I'm gonna.
Thank you for being here. No problem. I so appreciate it.
I'm kind of wearing an appropriate.
Oh, I love this. Okay, have you been up there?
No, there's a general store in San Francisco where I'm from, so I figured today.
Representing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, for the microphones, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Ryan Linkoff, Senior Curator and Head of Film Programs at the Lucas Museum.
Right on.
I know it hasn't opened yet, but what is your favorite piece so far that's been in the... Oh, did you? Sorry.
No. Don't apologize. Oh. I'm just laughing at what the answer is going to be.
I mean, so it's really hard to choose. I mean, we're opening with around 1,300 artworks that'll be on view. I've spent 8 years of my professional life dedicated to researching and caring for these objects, so it really is hard to choose a single favorite. There are artists whose work in the collection I really, really appreciate and have come to really value in the time I've spent there. And I guess if I were to choose, I don't know if it's a single object, but we do have a presentation of the work of Frank Frazetta, and that's just an artist I really care and appreciate all the work that he's done, and the fact that we have those all assembled in one place, I think is extremely special. So I think it's a uniquely Lucas thing that I can fully put my heart behind.
Cool. Thank you. I'm Mark with Saturday Morning Serial. How did you get connected with George Lucas and with this huge project?
Yeah, so I've been in LA for 21 years. I did my graduate studies at USC, and I've been working in LA institutions since 2011. I was a curator at LACMA, and then I went to the Academy Museum, and while I was there, the founding director of the museum, we met, and he encouraged me to apply, and I joined as the museum's first curator in 2018. So I've been with the project basically since it broke ground.
Cool. So for World of Motion, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about what's exactly going to be in there, and hopefully my favorite AT-AT.
And Star Wars in Motion?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's an exhibition that was, curated by George Lucas in close conversation with some of our team members. There's someone who's been working with the Lucasfilm Production Archive materials for 25 years, who's been a really important part of that project as well. The exhibition focuses on the vehicles of Star Wars. George is someone who has a deep interest in automobiles and machines, and the exhibition will really reflect that interest. So these are some of the largest objects in the museum's collection. These are full-size screenshot pod racers, speeder bikes. There will be AT-AT models, so you will be thrilled, including one of the most special pieces that we've never actually exhibited before. There have been a number of traveling exhibitions over the years that pull from the archive, but one piece in particular related to the AT-AT has never been shown, so a lot to see.
Are you allowed to say what that piece is?
I mean, I think we'll just see when the...
No comment!
So what was the difficult part of seeing the vision with George and Melody?
Mm-hmm.
As far as merging fine art, pop art,
yeah,
all together, what was the difficulty of merging those two together?
As I've always been interested in that intersection between art and kind of mass media and popular art, so for me there was kind of no difficulty, not to say that the project of course has had its challenges, but that piece in particular, I think this is what makes the project so exciting and why I feel like I've stuck around for 8 years, and I can in some ways can't imagine myself working anywhere else at this point, because it really does in some ways not even create an adversarial relationship between fine art and popular art. It just kind of does away with the distinction. If you really place the focus on stories, then you can see that all different forms of art, all different kinds of artists, all different stylistic approaches, if they're invested in particular kinds of stories, then they're relevant to the museum. So I think just kind of sidestepping that conversation and acknowledging that we're interested in work that tells great stories.
Does all art tell a story?
Yeah, and so I think this is what question we often get, and it's a really good one. I mean, I think my distinction I've kind of come to make is that I think all art has a story. Right, that all art has a story of how it was made, who made it, all of that, but not all art is about stories, and that really is the distinction that matters. Like art that really translates words into images, that's what we're talking about when we're talking at the Lucas Museum. So if it's helpful, that's the distinction I use.
I know that Guillermo del Toro, who's one of my favorites, is involved with the museum as well. What does he bring in particular, his particular genius to the museum?
So he's been on the board, I think, as long as since it started, I believe. And you know, he himself is a collector. He is a visionary filmmaker. So obviously, there's a lot of parallels with George Lucas. I'm not privy to their private conversations, but I think as someone who's also really deeply interested in the kinds of art that you know, you're going to see at Comic-Con and the kinds of art that you're going to see in the museum, he's certainly, I think, been instrumental in helping George shape that vision. In ways that I probably can't even see, but I certainly can feel the influence.
Good, thank you.
So obviously there's a lot of focus on artwork, but what about like visual video artwork styles?
I'm glad you asked. So in our panel in Comic-Con today at 4:45, we're going to be announcing the museum's film program. So that's something we haven't actually announced publicly before. And it's a extremely unique kind of film program. We have two really beautiful cinematic theaters that will be programmed continuously all day long. So it'll be an open door film program where you can come and go and stay for as short as you like or as long as you like. And it's really everything from the earliest cinema experiments, animation, documentaries, experimental and avant-garde films. So you're going to have a chance to see
That's amazing.
A huge number of things you've never seen anywhere else.
That's amazing.
We are here at maybe the biggest pop culture and collection event in the world. Tell us how this museum is a greater representation of collecting and of the memorabilia.
Yeah. So, well, kind of memorabilia per se isn't necessarily kind of a specific part of the collecting kind of parameters. It's really is original artwork that was made for a variety of different commercial purposes often. I mean, there are also artworks that aren't a part of a commercial process. But I do think, to answer your question, Comic-Con is a really important audience for us. I feel like there's a kind of implicit understanding of what the project is and what it's doing when we're at Comic-Con in a way that we almost don't even need to explain it in the ways that we might in a more traditional art setting. So I do feel like the people who are enthusiastic about collecting memorabilia, collecting merchandise, I think we'll find a very happy home at the Lucas Museum. We're also producing our own material for the retail shop, so I think there'll be a lot of opportunities. But yes, I do think that this audience is one that I think is pretty special for us.
Thank you.
Were you allowed to handpick some of the items at the archives to bring to the museum?
So the Star Wars in Motion exhibition is all pulled from the archive, so that will, and the idea is that we're going to be programming exhibitions from the archive forever. But I mean, there's a lot there. It's over 100,000 objects that are in that archive, so there's plenty of exhibitions to build from it.
That's pretty amazing.
And you're going to be like rotating them in and out of the museum?
Yeah. The idea is that we'll rotate exhibitions over time. I mean, there's light-scented materials, for example, but also we want to keep the exhibitions fresh, so that will happen.
And will they tour across the country and around the world as well?
I think that's similarly something we're still working through. I think there'll definitely be interest, and as I mentioned, there have been Star Wars exhibitions that have been curated for the last, I don't know, 15 years?
I've been
years?
To several.
Yeah. So there is an already established kind of methodology for doing that, so I could imagine that being true, but again, we're focused on opening the museum and we'll see what comes next.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of focus is on Star Wars, but what are the other artists that are going to be there?
Yeah, so there's Star Wars really is, I mean, obviously it's core to the museum. It's George Lucas's creative property. But you know, there are 33 galleries over those 100,000 square feet, and only one of those galleries is dedicated to Star Wars. So there's a lot of other kinds of content. We have great comic art holdings, including some Japanese manga, which is really exciting for us. We have a number of different kind of important illustrators who are focused. So Norman Rockwell, N.C. Wyeth, Maxwell Parrish, Frank Frazetta, as I mentioned. And also exhibitions that are organized around themes. One of the things that George often talks about are these shared human stories, and so we'll have exhibitions dedicated to work, family, sports, play, as well as narrative genres like science fiction and fantasy. So there's really no lack of stuff to see.
I've noticed that you're not at all on the defensive about defending pop art from classical art and things like that. Yeah. Did somebody have to drive that like into you, or did you just kind of come with that already as part of your kind of package, I guess?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, for me, like I've talked a lot about this with other folks too. I've always loved things that like critics don't like, so I've never really cared ultimately. And also that distinction again is one that I don't particularly value. I love art, fine art. I'm an art curator, so it's not as if I don't have value for it. But for me, it's a kind of both and. It's not an either or. So I just that's really where I live with it, and I feel like there's nothing to defend because this is stuff that so many people love that really shapes our world. So it kind of won the argument already. But.
Will there be any interactive things happening at the museum?
So the exhibitions, there's not necessarily particular interactives. There are, we will have a digital guide and an app that you can kind of, you'll be able to, you know, learn more about objects and things like that. But at opening, there will be a number of, maybe one especially exhibition that's has a lot of media components that is really kind of a beautiful and very special exhibition. But in terms of interactivity, I would say the app is really the space for that.
So with AI being a popular thing going on right now, are you building something interactive with it from an AI perspective?
So, you know, the museum's really interested in human stories in particular. So at the moment, we're like looking at work that is made by human hands in various forms, but yeah.
Cool. Well, I wanted you to talk about, I saw on your Instagram, you did like a Queer's Eye photography book.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, there's a partnership. I worked with a curator at the Getty Museum in Los Angeles, someone who I'd worked on a previous exhibition with, and I worked with him on a really important comprehensive history of queer photography from the early 19th century to the present, which was a very special exhibition and a book that went along with it. I was very excited to be able to do that with him, especially since, you know, the museum's not open, so it's nice to be able to work on that publication, especially as I was gearing up for this museum.
I remember last year when George was at Comic-Con, it was his first time here, that he talked about the diverse artists mm-hmm. from everywhere. And I think that's such a fabulous thing, especially now in this political climate. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have that every, you know, particular areas of art. What is your favorite thing about that?
In terms of the kind of diversity of the collection? I mean, for me, what's really amazing about it is that this is a platform for artists who really haven't had one in an institutional setting. Art museums have not tended to value and appreciate, I think, quite often, you know, illustrators and other forms of commercial artists. So this is really, and George has used the term, the kind of temple of people's art. It's actually something he said at Comic-Con last year, and I think it's a really nice term to talk about those kinds of art that really surrounds us every day, that influences and informs our lives. Like, and so for me to give a platform for artists who haven't really had that is just such a special part of the project.
I think I've picked up on what makes this really special is that, I can't really think of another, I'm sure there are, but this is one of the first times anyway that the creator is teaming up with the curator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to the Van Gogh Museum, but he didn't build it.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell us about the, I don't know, I don't think, I don't even know if challenge is the right word, but, you know, you're kind of, this is new territory. This is the guy that made the thing,
Yeah. Changed
the world, and now he wants to curate it.
Yeah.
So can, if you can speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that has been really what is, it's been an incredible honor, and it's such a privilege to have the opportunity to work with George and with Melody on this project. It is really unique. I actually don't know if there is another example of someone who's founding a museum of this size and scale who's also an artist. So he's a collector, he is a businessman, he's a builder, and he's also an artist whose work is represented in the collection and who's advocated for a lot of the artists that are in the collection. So that's just a really special thing. He's also a visionary who kind of has known what he's wanted for a very long time. Some of the earliest conversations I had with him are largely where we've landed, you know, all these years later. So he had this in his mind, and both he and Melody both, I feel like I learned a lot working with them because they are two people who I think can have a big idea and like make it happen. So just being a part of that has been really great.
What has Melody and George each brought to the project?
I mean, I'm sure probably more than I can even say because, you know, they've been partners on this.
Yeah, doing, yeah.
I mean, so George, you know, again, Melody's also a collector, so she's been invested in art and its history as well. George has been collecting since the 70s and collecting especially in the areas that really the museum has strength in. I think that they both bring, you know, unique sets of skills. I mean, and again, both have big vision, ability to kind of execute big projects. Yeah, I think I wouldn't be able to necessarily say exactly like what kind of differentiates them because in a way, like, you know, again, they're working such kind of close conversation to make this project happen.
So when the museum opens, how many different pieces will be available to the public?
Yeah, so it's around 1,300 artworks, which is really, there's a lot to see. Yeah, that's been the complicated thing to conserve, frame, make sure all those objects are in the shape that they need to be, and also assess all of them. You know, we've done research on every single object in the exhibitions, which we needed the 8 years to do, so that's a good thing.
At what frequency can I come back and see something new?
So we're still figuring kind of our rotation and kind of changeover schedule, but that is the plan. So
because I'm only 2.5 hours away.
Yeah, we do want people to come back frequently. So I can't say with exact specificity, but we want to keep these exhibitions fresh and people coming back.
I know you guys have a booth here in Comic-Con. What's one of the special things at the booth that people can look for?
Yeah, I mean, so we're in the same booth as Lucasfilm, which is really nice to kind of pair with them in this regard. We have some custom merch that we can only get here, which is really exciting. So you can buy that there, it'll be collectible. And some other kind of special things that I would just encourage people to go check out.
Are you gonna be wandering around the exhibition hall looking for future people?
I have done and probably will do but today obviously it's pretty booked, but either Friday or Saturday. I always like to see what's on view and whose work is out there, and yeah.
So the other private collectors are loaning their art to the museum?
So again, like I said, so good question, but so it's almost entirely everything in the museum's collections with just a very small handful. So there's both institutional and private lenders, but it's under 10, so it's not a lot.
I'm sure Guillermo's probably given some of his stuff, considering what his house looks like.
Do you feel comfortable saying what Frazetta piece it is that you mentioned before?
So there's some that I think we've even announced. We have, obviously his work with Burroughs.
Oh, that you particularly like.
Oh my God. There's a couple, I guess, But I think his cover for The Princess of Mars, which is just such an iconic Frazetta with the kind of pyramidal composition that he used and in some ways innovated. We also have one of the versions of Vampirella he did, which is really exciting because he kind of invented that character. So I don't know, there's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
I asked a lot of questions earlier, so that's
why I'm
give
good.
You guys
good.
Yeah. So yeah. Anything from the questions that were asked at this round table, did anything prompt you is there something that based on what these guys have said that you wanted to add to that maybe people didn't?
No, I mean, I think again, I think one thing to keep in mind is that while my emphasis has been on the art and the exhibitions and the film program, this project is so ambitious and massive in scale. There's a public park that will be open to everybody. This is a 300,000 square foot building that has retail spaces, a research library, just so much on offer. It's more than just the art, but of course the art is important.
Is some of the art going to spill out into the park, like a sculpture garden or something?
There will be a sculpture garden, yeah. So, and that's, again, open to everybody, so without a ticket. So you'll be able to see that experience starts there, and you can continue it once you go inside.
And then in you particular, I know that you said you studied. What got you into, what was the thing that you were like, oh, I want to do this for a living?
That's a really good question. I actually didn't end up, I didn't go to art museums as a child. I grew up in the country. Mm-hmm. I didn't really go to an art museum until I was 20 years old when I was in college. And then I decided I want to study art history. And it just was a path that I stayed. I loved the kind of historical element of it too, the kind of broader cultural history, the visual culture elements. And I've always just loved popular culture. It's been kind of baked in part of me. Film was my obsession as a child. I still care a lot about it and follow a lot of popular artists. I remember my mom had a Boris Vallejo calendar that arrived every year that I was obsessed with. So it's just been kind of in my, ethos in the air. I had this unique opportunity to be able to do it professionally, so I'm very excited about it.
What part of the country did you grow up in?
I grew up in Oregon. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Exactly. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.